So we're going backwards from what we started last week, but it's not the Pentel we did last week. Not really. So it's about Shlomo, Melachim Aleph, Shlomo, Perakimel. So basically, Shlomo becomes king. Okay. Kills his enemies, whatever it is, fine. And now, jumping in the middle of Gimel, hey, Shlomo's in Gibeon. And it says, if you want, there's I have like a bunch of Navi there. If you want to get that one, right on the Ottoman. Yeah, they're all Navi. Pick your favorite Navi. Okay, so it says, "Gibeon nira Hashem al Shlomo b'chalom halayla." And this is strange. It says, Gibeon, Hashem appeared to Shlomo in a dream. Vayomer Elokim, Sha'al ma'atein lach. What do you want me to give you? Okay, it's like the classical genie. Yeah? But it's only one wish. Okay? One wish. Yeah, more wishes. He says, it's Gimel. Melachim Aleph Gimel. Yeah, if you want one in the Farshim, there's... Do you have that one? Okay, good. Yeah. So what do you want me to give you? Right? A strange... I don't know of any precedent like this. Any other case, is there such like a strange thing? What do you want me to give you? Like whatever, pick your, you know, except for the man gets a taste of whatever you want to taste like, or, you know, but this sounds like a strange thing for a God to come and appear to him and say. Okay. Vayomer Shlomo, Ato asisim avdecha David avi chesed gadol. You did with my father David, your servant, my father, a great chesed, kasher halach lefanecha ve'emes v'tzlak av yisha slave of imach. Because he went, given that he walked before you with MS and Staka and straight heart, Atishmar lo es a chesed gadol hazeh, and you guarded for him this great chesed, which he did. Right? You guarded this chesed, Vatiten lo bein, Yoshua Kiso came with us, so not only did he do chesed to him, you preserved the chesed for the next generation by giving him this son, me, Shlomo, sitting on the throne. Now you made me king. And I'm a young child. Chazal say he was 12 when he was appointed king. I don't know exactly how old he was now, but you know, he's young. But lo edat say sova, and I don't know how to come and go. Okay, my comings and goings, I don't really know. Okay. The avducha b'soch amucha shevacharta, and your servant is amongst this nation which you chose, I'm Rav, a great nation. Asher lo yimana v'lo yisof emerov. They can't be counted. They're so big, right? Great nation. Okay. Renasata la avdecha lev shomeya lishvot es amcha. And you should give to your servant. A heart which would hear, a heart of understanding, an understanding heart to judge your nation. Lahavin bein tov lo ra, to discern between good and evil. Ki mi yuchal lishvot es amcha kaved hazeh, because who could possibly be able to judge this great nation, this difficult nation, this big nation, right? So I want a heart of knowledge to gain to be able to judge this nation. Right? Okay. Vayitav hadavar b'enei Hashem. Ki shal shlomo hadavar hazeh. And it was very good in the eyes of God that Shlomo asked for this. Okay. Vayomer Elokim Elov. Ya'an asher shalta es hadavar hazeh. V'lo shalta l'cha, right? Because you asked for this. V'lo shalta l'cha yomim rabman. You didn't ask for long days. V'lo shalta l'cha osher. Nor did you ask for wealth. V'lo shalta nefesh o'ivecha. Nor did you ask for the soul of your enemies, right? To kill your enemies. V'sha'alta l'cha havin l'shmo ha'mishpat. Rather, you ask for understanding to hear, you know, mishpat. Hine asisi kedvaracha. I'm going to do what you want. Okay? It's funny. Like, it doesn't sound... But if you would have asked for the wrong thing, then you wouldn't do it. I thought, okay, what do you want? It means, like, I'm going to give it to you. Hine nasati l'cha lev chacham enavon. Behold, I have given you a heart of Chachma and Nava and Bina. Asher kamocha lo hayo lefanecha. Before you, there was no one like you. V'acharecha, lo yakum kamacha, and afterwards there won't be anyone like you.
That also doesn't seem appropriate.
Yeah.
You should just say, okay, here's your...
I know.
Having, you know...
Mm-hmm. Radak says, what about Moshe Rabbeinu? Radak says, afilu Moshe Rabbeinu bechachmas hateva lo yakamahu. Aval bechachmas ha'elokis hayachachem yosem rena. So in the chachma of nature or something like that, there's no one like him. But in metaphysics, Moshe Rabbeinu is greater. Oh, Perusha loyal fun of Malachim. Or it means no king was greater than you. It's referring, the reference point is the other kings. Okay, I think one other Mepharshim say it means no one in his gen, a few generations was greater than, you know. Means in the world, smartest man in the world. Does it mean ever in history? It doesn't, even though it says, Kamlo Yakum Kamoch Lofanov and Lachrov, it's a little hard to, but it means the kings, I guess. Or maybe it means the generation right before and the generation right after. I think someone wanted to say that. What?
All kings?
Oh, you could say that. That's what Radak means. Someone else said it, though. It means that. It means the other thing.
Oh, I see.
I guess they're all Bhagavan, sorry. Okay, fine. So then it says like this, V'gam ha'shelosh ha'alta, and not only that, even that which you didn't ask, nasati lecha, I'm going to give you. Lach, gam osher, gam kavod, wealth and kavod, ha'shelo ha'yakamocha ishram, lachum kol yamecha, that there was no one like you among all the kings, all the days, all your days. Like you, all your days. Whatever that means. Okay. V'im teilchu b'teilich b'drachai, so he gave him wealth and money also. I mean, money and kavod. V'im teilich b'drachai lishmar chukim mitzvosai, and if, not only that, if you go in my path to guard the chukim and mitzvos, kasher halachta v'ravicha, v'harachti es yamecha, that's contingent. Then I will lengthen your days. Turns out he didn't really have long days. I think he died at like 52 or something.
Okay.
Yeah. He ended up, he was somewhat of a chote at the end. But it's not clear what happened, but his wives, he didn't stop his wives from doing a zara or something.
Yeah.
That's that whole thing. And it says, and the punishment was, basically, I think he died, and the kingdom was going to be split up after him, and the whole thing. I mean, it seems like it didn't end as well as David Amel. David Amel seemed to end on a good foot. He had the one cheder she did shuva for, and, you know. But Shlomo seemed to be, didn't, I don't know, I just I didn't really learn through in depth, but from Pshat, it doesn't seem like he ended up so great. You know, whatever that means. I'm talking very loosely. But, I mean, he didn't live very long, but, you know. Okay, so that's contingent. He says, apparently the wealth and the... That's what the Mepharshim say. The wealth and the honor doesn't make contingent. But the length of days, length of his kingdom, that he did make contingent. If you follow the Mitzvahs, you know. Yeah, Rashi says it. Ha'ushar ha'kavod shlois nesi b'torasi lases l'melech etin l'cha bein zakai bein chayef. So the wealth and the honor that I didn't say in the Torah I was going to give to the king, I'm not sure what that means exactly, that I'm going to give you. But orach hayamim malchus hadoros in the Torah the Torah says that a king is going to have long days if he keeps the Torah mitzvah, so he doesn't sway. So that he's not going to change. So it means if you keep the Tanai in the Torah, that you follow the Torah on the highest level, then you'll have long days, otherwise not. That's open in the Torah, that you have, in order to have a long kingdom you have to keep the Torah. So that he's not going to renege. But in the Osher and the Kavod, there's no Tanai like that. It doesn't say in the Torah that if you keep the Torah mitzvahs, then you'll have Osher and Kavod. So he's saying he's giving the Osher and Kavod anyways. Funny. Funny, right?
And why is he doing that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, why is he giving this stuff, even if you follow for it, it becomes a Rosh, he's just going to give it to him anyways. Like, why does he get it? I mean, it seems to be reasonable. Don't give him anything if he sways or if he doesn't do it, you know?
Are you asking you're on the Chokhmah also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, the Chachma and then the Sada. The whole thing's funny.
Why does he come to him in the first place?
Not clear.
He comes to him all of a sudden in a dream?
Yeah.
Hey, what do you want?
Not clear, yeah. Funny.
So weird.
I know, so it's funny. The whole thing is funny. The whole story is a funny story. And then it says, let's just finish it up. It says, Vayikat Shlomo v'hinei chalom. He woke up and it was a dream. Vayevo Yerushalayim. Vayamod lefnei Aron bris Hashem. Vayal olos. Vayal shlamim. Vayas mishtel chalavadav. He's very happy about this. Very happy. So why is he happy? So Rashi says, listen to this. Vayikad shomayin chalom. Vihine haven shechalom emes. And so he woke up. He knew it was true. Why? Shomaya of mitzavtev. He heard the birds chirping. Umaven lashano. And he understood their language. Kelev noveach. He heard the dogs barking. Umaven lashano. He understood the language. I asked Mishta. Meisimchas libo shehaven shechalom emes. So he made a party because he realized that he was so happy that he knew it was true. Poof.
That's wild.
And right after that, it says, Oz, Tavona Shtaim Nashim Zonos Al Malach Vatam Alafanav. And right after that, the two women, Zonos, came before him with the baby and that whole thing. This is like the intro to the story which we did last week about the two women.
What I would think would come next, based on Rashi, is that, though, the stuff that Rashi said.
Come in, Ozla.
Like, how do you prove that he really got it, you know? Yeah, you heard the birds chirping. Oh, hey, I can speak bird and dog.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Well, didn't mind. I couldn't hear so well. You gotta hang up this thing.
Is that a new phone?
Yeah, he's got a new phone.
Ooh, smart, smart.
Wait, are we still going up? Yeah, I couldn't really hear, so that's true.
Okay, so basically God came to Shlomo Malch and says, what do you want? I get one wish.
Right.
He says, I don't want Chachma to judge the people.
That's what he said.
Mm-hmm. He says, they're a big nation, I'm a young kid, I can't do, you know, he's like 12 or something, you know. He says, and who could judge this great nation? I don't want Chachma to judge people. So God said, very good. Because you asked that and you didn't ask for wealth and you asked for honor and you didn't ask for a long life, he says, I'm going to give you a Chachma. Not only that, I'm also going to give you wealth and honor. And if you keep the Torah, I'll also give you a long life. And he woke up from his dream, and he said, and then he heard birds chirping, and he understood what they were saying. And he heard dogs barking, and so they're saying, and he realized that it was true. That's Rashi. That's not open in the Pasuk, that part. And he realized it was true, so he made a big party for everyone. And then right after that, he had the story with the woman, the two women fighting over the baby, and they chopped the baby in half, and that whole story.
He wasn't the king at that point.
He was still king.
Oh, he was king.
He was king this whole time. He was king.
How old was he? 12?
Yeah, he was young.
Doesn't really fit the bill of like the reason we have a king, right?
Yeah. He's very strong. I mean, David died. I guess he died. Whatever. He got a. Well, it could be it makes that other part of the story actually reasonable. The previous story, so I was doing this morning, but it's about Adoniyahu. Adoniyahu, I think so. He was the one who basically tried to take the kingdom, like when David was almost dying. And basically, like he tried to usurp the kingdom with that, and then like, Nasa and Avi and Vasheva came to David and said, what's going on? I thought Shlomo was supposed to be the king. But like if Shlomo was like little, like he kinda could see that like he was just basically trying to like bulldozer his way into the kingdom. You know, hoping David will die first, yeah.
Was the implication of what God said to him that if he would have had these things, I wouldn't
have given him? That's what we were saying, I don't know. Maybe. I know, he didn't know it was contingent. It sounds like he asked for something and but it seems like he wasn't clear that the dream was a dream, so it could be the dream wouldn't have been true. He woke up, he heard that the dream was true, he realized he was happy. It's not clear.
Are we asking what's the hobby of that he would ask those two things, or that's just some things you ask for, like it's pleasure and ego?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, we're saying the whole thing is funny. It's a funny thing. God comes and asks him for a wish. You know? It's like a genie, you know? Sounds like a movie, you know? And this is the birds chirping.
Well, you guys never had that? What do you
when it says he's like the biggest chacham from before him and after him, and the chachma teva, it says. The chachma teva, Rashi. The Pasuk says he's the greatest chacham before him and after him. So Rashi said, I would have Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Radak says it means he's greater in chachma teva, chachma of nature. But in chachma halokus, like metaphysics, he says Moshe Rabbeinu is greater.
It's a different man?
Seems so. Seems so. And then let me just show you one other thing. This is as far as we did. You're up to date. So then there's a later on in the Navi it says Vayitain, this is in Parakai task. Vayitain Elkim Chachma Lashlomo Svuna Harbe Mode. Give him Chachma and much Svuna. So Rochav Lev and like largeness of heart. Whatever that means. Kachola Shel Svatayam. Like the sand in the sea. And his Chachma was greater than all of the people of the East and all the Chachmas Mitzrayim. He was smarter than all the people. From Esan Hazrachi, Behemon, Bekalkal, Bedardah, Bene Machal. He was like four brothers or something, sons of Machal. These great people. He was like famous for his Chachma. All the nations, all around. By Daber Shloshes Alaf and Mashal, he had 3,000 Mashalim. By Hishiro Chamisha Alaf, he had 1,005 songs. Okay.
What is Mishalim?
Mishalim like Mishlei. Yeah, Mishlei like you know whatever Mishlei means, but like parable, whatever, like you know. By Daber Ala Eitzim, and he spoke about the trees. I mean, how Erez from the cedar tree, Shebel Levanon. The cedar, you know, in Lebanon, the cedar's Lebanon, the strongest tree, the tallest tree, Vada Ezo, Vashe Yotzevikir, to the hyssop that springs out of the wall. But from the most biggest trees to the smallest little growths.
These are analogies for what?
He spoke about the Chachma. It's Chachma.
Oh, analogies for his Chachma.
Yeah, it was an analogy. It sounds like he really studied trees. Botany.
Oh, this was Chachma.
Yeah, right.
Oh,
he spoke about these things. He spoke about the trees from the biggest to the smallest. I guess, like, it's interesting. It's like Chachma, you know, you're impressed by great, tall things. But the same Chachma could be in a big tree or a small tree. It doesn't really matter, right? I mean, from little microscopic things, you can gain great Chachma. It's not necessarily size is emotionally interesting, but it doesn't necessarily have anything to do with how much Chachma is going to be. So he studied the big and the small. Yeah, right. It sounds that way. By Dabar Ala Behema, and he spoke about the birth of animals, the Ala Oaf, and birds, v'ala remesh, and like creepy crawlies, v'ala dogim, and v'ala fish. V'yavo'u mikol ha'amim l'shmo'a eis chachma shlomo. Me'eis kol malchei ha'aretz asher shamu es chachma so. So all the nations who heard of es chachma, they all came to hear es chachma. So he was like world famous chachma. You know? He's like an Einstein or something like that. You know? Like someone like people, the world at large was coming to hear his chachma. Yeah, right, the birds. Right, immediately though, he had this like
right.
Something in the language of the birds.
I'm saying maybe it doesn't mean like language necessarily.
Yeah, right.
If they weren't saying like, good morning to him. Like he's not.
Right, and your kid, they tell you that. At least if you go to Yeshiva, I don't know if they told you that. They tell you that, it's one of those things. So you don't have all these like all these things you have to unlearn.
Right.
So you have an advantage over everyone.
Right. Because maybe he knew like animals and like biology and stuff. Like it just meant like he understood why.
Right.
Birds chirp in the morning. Like, why?
Uh-huh.
Right. Right. Doing like a mating call now.
Yeah. Right.
But you know what they say here is Rada Chazal say. It says it's interesting. So one thing it says is basically he studied all the Chachmas Tavay. He basically knew their nature and how they could use medicinally, like medicine from all the different herbs and stuff.
Wow.
And he wrote a bunch of books. He says, we don't have them now.
Really?
Yeah. And then he says...
How to print it.
And he says like this. He says, well, you speak about the trees. I don't know why they say this, but they say, Ne'ma mitzora nitar begavoa shebegavohim ubenamach shebenanuchim. Ve'itz erez ve'ezov. Oh, so he says... I mean, these are tall and the short are basically the mitzora. In order to be tahar, has to use something from this tall one and something from the short one. The ezo, so he says, alidei sheik bia atzma ke'erez l'mitzras. Because the reason you get the tzras is because you raise yourself up, like gaiva. It's like the lashon hara is like gaiva. Kibud shemash bia atzma ke'ezo v'nitav v'nitrape. And the healing is that you lower yourself like the lowest one. So it's like he's explaining. It's like they're tying. It's funny. It's like he's tying the like out of plain pshat in the pasuk, which is chachma of science. He's making it to chachma of like of Torah, but like the combo sort of, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Then it says al behema vehala of nimma behema niteres b'shnei simanim of b'siman echad. Why is it that by shechita, by an animal, you have to shech two simanim, the windpipe and the food pipe, and by a bird, just cutting one of them is enough? Kasav echad omer min ha'yabasha nivra of.
Good.
Sounds like it. And then he tells why the Shemana Shratzim. I mean, he's getting to like different halachos. And why do the animals behema chaya and oaf need shechita and fish don't need shechita? He's like getting into all different, you know, like halachos. It could be it's additional. You know, I don't know if he's saying it exclusively, but he's adding in like, it's like somehow he's. It's like through his chachma of science, he's also able to like understand halachas. It reminds me of this. It reminds me of like the Rambam says he studied like all the ancient idolatrous practices, and then he able to understood like Tom Emes was. He explains Tom Emes was. He says the more you understand about the ancient pagan practices, the more you can understand about why the Torah asked this and asked that. And, you know, so it could be like. Do you want to understand different halachas about machalas asuros and mashchita and about this? He says, and the more you understand, like science, like the animal world and plant world, you'll understand more. You want to know why a ritzora is this kind of tree or that kind of tree. If you understand the nature of the kind of trees, then you'll have, be able to gain insight into these things. If you don't know the first thing about them, how are you supposed to come, you know? If we'd start thinking about, oh, why is a ritzora with aguda sezo? Like, what's aguda sezo? Oh, a hyssop. Oh, hyssop. So how do you even think about that? It's impossible. You don't even know what the thing is, you know? But if you knew the properties of it, then maybe you'd have a same defense. So it sounds like he like took his chachma of the thing and he gained more insight into chachma, into the chachma of the Torah. Didn't they say that he understood all the chukim? Didn't they say he understood all the chukim so part of them?
Yeah.
So it could be a similar point, you know? Like he studied, the more chachma you have about the world and about, you know, the more you can understand the tamim of the Torah, the mitzvah of the Torah.
Doesn't seem out of the ordinary though.
What?
Doesn't this seem one. Amazingly.
Oh, the Talmud. These examples, I know. But the hearing the bird, the language of the bird, like this plain shot, I think sounds more amazing. It sounds like he basically studied all the whole natural order and all. You know, he's like a scientist. He's like, oh, you know, this is like before the days of science, you know, or whatever.
Yeah.
It's before Aristotle, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a serious. Right? Was it before Aristotle? I don't even know that at this time.
Like around 2000 years ago.
And then when Aristotle.
Like 1,000.
What?
Like 1,000 years ago.
What? Shlomo?
Or like 2,000 years ago.
Shlomo's more than that.
More than 2,000?
Here, it has the dateline here in the beginning. Let me check. But yeah, I think it was more than 2,000 years ago.
Around the first place in
the country. Oh, yeah. Solomon's death was 932 BCE.
3,000.
So it's about 3,000. So when was Aristotle?
No.
Aaron, just want to show you a little trick about a smartphone.
Yeah.
Date of Aristotle.
Yeah, I see it's an Android platform.
Yeah.
The Google, the talking to it is amazing, right?
Yeah.
It really is.
Did it recognize it well?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Recognize the
born 384 BC. Died 322 BC. There's a wiki. But yeah,
cool.
Wikipedia. So that's
so it's
Shlomo's before,
way
before, 600-700 years before.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, so that's pretty impressive then.
Yeah, so this is like before like science, you know, and he's basically studying all the different, you know, things, and their world at large is coming to see his chachma. So apparently he was like classifying different plants and animals, and from all the extents of all the different animals, and he's writing Mishalim. So you see that, like, Mishalim about, like, ethics, like Mishlei, about ethics and life, and, you know, it's like running the gamut of, basically, you know, all different things, and judging people, and, you know.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, though, he didn't ask, because what he asked for was Chachma to judge the people, right? He didn't just ask them to be, like, to become, like, Einstein, or to be, like, the world super genius, right? He didn't ask for Chachma of the, he asked specifically for judging the people.
He
did ask for that. But he didn't say he didn't ask for just to become the genius in science. He has to judge the people. Wisdom to be able to judge the people.
Would you say that's a more general asking or more?
It seems more specific.
More specific.
It seems that way. I mean, maybe it is.
Right,
legs. 733 Cornega Court.
733 Cornega Court.
Right, because that would be just specifically knowledgeable to people in the system.
Yeah, right. Right, I mean, you don't have to know about birds and trees and, right. You know, fish.
Gilskarn?
How long?
He's by sheep
now. Oh, okay, cool.
I mean, I don't know how much longer I'm going
to be. Yeah, I mean, we're just getting, we don't really say anything yet.
Did you just send an email
first, by the way? I Cinnamon sent an email, and I just sent one tonight. Maybe not a lot of people got it. Are you on his list, Aaron?
God, he's here in the mornings. God, be on the list.
Maybe he only sent, I don't know. I know he sent it to. You got it, don't know?
There's another email from I didn't get either.
I sent one, though, tonight also, but that was last minute.
Oh, I didn't send it. What's that?
Maybe on the list.
Yeah, it's, I think I'm on the list.
I think I told him to put you on the list, like a year, like last year or something.
Send him an email.
Yeah, send an email. Is that Gil? Sounds like it. I hear the door close.
What kind of phone did you get?
I got my mom's. I inherited it. But it's the... it's the Incredible. That's good. That's good. What do you have?
It's got the Galaxy S3. Is that your first smartphone?
Yeah.
It's amazing, right?
Yeah. Is yours also? Hey.
Yeah, okay.
What's that?
Yeah, it's great.
What do you want? Is that good? Do you want? There's another one from the first one.
Okay.
That's good?
Yeah.
Could be why that, their doc tests and make all the science things into like a lot of things?
Because?
Yeah,
it's true, but even judging the people, does he have to understand? Shlita, like, yeah, the time why a bird, you have to cut one, seven, nine, nine. I mean, you could say, like, the Mitzurah, maybe. Could be.
Was it all just like, you know,
could be. He says being Tov L'Ra, but in the case, at least, was the woman with the baby, you know, but, like, it could be. You're right, you could say that. Yeah, but that's the truth is, like, this is later. It's like a few parakim later. The first thing he just says that he got the chachma, and God said, I'll give you the chachma to judge people and whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. But then it almost sounds like what happened was this chachma, you know, it, like, went beyond that. It, like, almost like, because you kind of see, it's like, I don't know if you could give someone the chachma to again judge the people, and then he just, that's it. Because it's like some sort of skills and aptitude you're going to give him, which presumably will have some sort of carryover. But that's not what he was asking for. But, you know. So what's the problem?
It's clear that he only gave him the other one just because, like, we see he's giving him extra stuff, you know?
Yeah, no, that's true.
Giving him extra stuff.
It's true. I mean, it could just be his extras.
Yeah.
Could be his extras. But he doesn't say in the bonus, I'm also going to give you other chachmas. He doesn't say that. But in the seems anyway, it's like, I don't know, you can give a guy one skill. Chachma kind of doesn't work that way. But, you know, look, maybe you just gave him some, like, judging ability, but not scientific ability.
So. A little bit, though, because, like, I won't trust the, like, the greater Chachma Sepeva, but not really.
Right, Nachas Holocaust. Yeah. Right. But that's already different.
Right.
Chachma Sepeva.
The thing is, like...
Yeah, right, departments, right, departments, right. Yeah. Okay, so what are the problems? What are the problems? So one problem is, what's the deal with this whole thing, right? God saying, what do you want? Right? It's just not an ordinary thing that happens. Then what's the big deal? I guess, why is he asking for this chachman? What's the big deal? Why is this such a great maila that he did? Apparently he was great, you know? Then, and then I guess, what's the birds thing? Right, that Rashi at least, that he afterwards he got the chachma and he knew that he had it because he's like, what exactly did he get? Right? You see right away, though, even though he said he wanted to judge the people, all of a sudden he hears the birds. Why is that? What does the birds have to do judging the people? It's not just later. It's right away, Rashi says he knew it was real. But I think it's a Chazal that Rashi. He knew it was real because he heard the birds. Hey! Come on in. How's it going?
Doing good. I saw your brother, Charles.
Oh, you in Queens?
I was in Queens, yeah.
Where in Queens? Like Forest Hills? Kew Gardens Hills?
Like Holliscourt, Jamaica States.
Mm-hmm. You got a baby, you know that, right?
I wish him well. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Thank you, man.
You want tea? Gil?
Tea? I love tea.
He's in the, yeah, you could help him out. You can fill him in on what's going on also, Sam.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you got a refill if you want. You want tea, Aaron?
Oh, fine, thanks.
Okay. Now he's asking a little why he gives a little intro. He says, before he started talking back to God, he said, you made David my father king, and he did this great chesed to him, and now you gave him a kid, and now I am the king, and now I don't know exactly what to do. You know, like, what's he here, like, all little, you know. So what's the deal with that? So
now when did he say that?
The first thing, God said, what do you want me to give you? And then he said, they started off, it's like his intro. So what are you saying? It's like because...
See, maybe he's just saying, like, you preserved the kingdom for so long, and now if you beat me in my current state,
right, I'm not gonna be able to pull it off. I need to.
It's gonna fall apart.
Right. The whole point of the thing is, you made me king in order to carry out your promise to David and off, and they're gonna let me a king. I don't know what I'm doing.
Right. Left him out of Egypt and everything.
Right.
Everyone's gonna say now that, like, you did it all for nothing, like that kind of thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, listen to another thing. Rashi says, why is he saying he can't judge the people? He says, Mitoch Shehim Rabim, Yeshlehem Asakim Rabim. They have a lot of different dealings. Ubain Ladin, Vainly Muslim, Ayan Bidinim. I don't have the patience or the ability, the time, or whatever, to start looking into all their din. Davar Acher, Kimi Yichalishu Asama Kaved Azeh, Mishpatim Kaved Me'od. It's very hard, their Mishpat. If I judge wrongly, it's like a pasuk. It says that the dayan messes up, so he's responsible. So I can't. How could I judge them? It's you know, it's like funny. It's like putting on himself. Like, I'm going to get punished too much. I can't do it.
Sorry,
you know?
That doesn't make sense.
You say it's like if a judge isn't careful, if a judge makes mistakes, then he's responsible. So I'm going to judge all the people, and I'm going to make mistakes, and now I'm going to be responsible. That's what they all say.
So he was looking out for himself.
Yeah, that's what's funny about the Pshat thing, you know.
But at first, it doesn't make sense to me, though, because, like, I don't know. Just, there's a practical way of dealing with that. Just get other judges to come in and judge. And it's not like a problem with your chachma. It's just there's a problem.
I know, like Moshe Rabbeinu has set up the whole system of the judges, right? Of Yisrael, like all that stuff.
How is chachma going to help him? Too many people.
I know. It's true.
But still, it's not like
doesn't give him more hours in advance.
It's not a problem, really. Just set up a system. This is how you deal with it.
Yeah,
you know?
It's true.
It's a certain type of situation that you're dealing with.
Another thing here is they say, I don't know. They have this in English here. They quote this madrash. It says, "Our sages compare Solomon's request for wisdom to the following parable." A king wished to reward his favorite officer with honor and glory. He agreed to grant him any request. Realizing that riches or high office may be temporary, he decided to ask for that which would encompass and guarantee all. He requested the hand of the king's daughter in marriage. So I guess he's saying, like, chachma is, like, all-encompassing. You have chachma, like, you'll get the wealth, you'll get the money, you know, you'll get the kavod, you'll get the other things are more limited. He's saying chachma is, like, more general. Yeah, right. It's like that. Yeah, okay. So what's the deal of this whole thing, right? What's God asking him? Right? I mean, that's the the first problem. Like, what's, can we explain what's going on in the story? Like, what's the significance of the story? It seems like, you know, kind of important, right? But like, how is the whole, what's the context of this whole story, and what's the battle, you know, what's it about? That?
I don't know what the context, like, what, like, did this happen after a particular event?
Not really. I mean, it's the beginning of his melucha. I mean, he just basically killed his enemies, basically bringing karbanos, and God just came to him in a dream. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the beginning of his kingdom, let's just say that, you know? Beginning of his setting up his kingdom. Yeah, sure.
I mean, I'll fully work out, but like, let's say, so one night he heard the birds and he knew, right? So I think, like I mentioned before, like, knowledge of to judge the people, chachma judge the people, is like, I guess, an awareness of people, and I guess also an awareness of the system. So I think that when he heard the birds, like, that shows he was like, he was tuned in. I think it's a similar kind of awareness, right, that he was tuned into with, of like a, like, I don't know, some kind of emotional sensitivity, or emotional, yeah, like some kind of like a broadened, let's say, emotional radar, you know?
Right.
And when you hear it with birds, like, you birds talking, I mean, obviously they're not saying, hey, what's up?
Right.
But like, they're doing a, like a mating call or a distress call or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
And some form of communication is what they do.
Right.
You know, and he was able to, he was tuned in, and he could hear, like, I mean, I don't know, the nuances or whatever, the, he was tuned into kind of what the factors were.
Right.
So, I mean, he, that only proves one type of chachma, but that proves that that what God granted him in the dream really happened.
Right.
Mm-hmm. His ability to distinguish really heightened.
Right, some kind of heightened,
yeah, right.
State of,
you're saying it's not just, it's not like a heightened sense of hearing.
Not of hearing, he's just, he's now like sensitive to these kind of these factors.
Right.
You know.
You know, one other thing I forgot to mention, maybe related to this, but after the story of the woman, he is able to discern which was the woman who was the faker and the real, you know. You know that story, right?
Right.
So. So it says after the baby in the cutting baby, exactly. So it says Vayishmu Kol Yisrael as Hamishvat Asher Shafar Hamelach, Vayiru Mipnei Hamelach. They were afraid. Ki Rou Ki Chachmas Elokim Bekirbo Lasos Mishpat. So they had like a fear. So what is the fear? So Radak says, I think it's Radak. 1 second.
What does that mean? They saw the Chachmas Elokim.
Yes, a good question. What does that mean? Nefikach yaru mipanav lasos davar ra. Yafilu v'seisar. They were afraid to do something bad, even in private. Ki rou ki barov chachmaso yotzi la'or mishpat. K'moshe nasa b'zeh mishpat. He says they were afraid that he was going to be able to bring out the justice to light. Even in private they were afraid. Because you see what this woman did in private. She stole the baby. Fear in the middle of the night. How is anyone going to ever find out? But he did. So they're frightened. And I guess Chachmas Elokim b'kirbo, I guess he means somehow they sensed that this was like God's help. Some, you know, it was like some sort of hashkacha. So maybe, something like that. Good question. Exactly.
I see why they're afraid even private. I mean, it kind of like, it's in your midst, it kind of gives it a reality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, when somebody's really smart, I've come to that experience a couple times in my life. Like, when I've been around, like, somebody really, really smart, it's like, wow, this guy sees right through me. You know, I always say that phrase. I'm like, oh, this guy sees right through my head.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Any other thoughts? Okay, so you want to hear something? Okay, so I mean, it's along the same path as you guys are going. You know, just to have a little bit to add. Not much. So the thing is, like, what's going on here is that basically Shlomo Melech is like the king. It's like almost like the culmination. Like, the Shlomo Melech was this great king, and now Shlomo Melech is going to build a Mikdash and be the king. Like, he was like, you know, he's in line for great stuff. But God is basically saying is that you have to use your chachmah and decide what kind of a kingdom you want to have. There are different types of kings. And the job of every king is, I guess, to control the people, to basically keep people in line and, you know, to set up a society of law and order and directing them towards Torah and towards chachmah. Right, and every king has to basically set up, you know, rule his society, and there are different methods of king which kings use to rule and to control the people. Right, I mean, the ultimate thing of a king is like the thing is Malach and Mishpat Yamid Aretz. It's like through Mishpat or through a king has to basically sets up law and order in a society. Without a king, you have lawlessness and recklessness. The idea of a king is basically keeps the people in check and keeps people in line. But how do you do that? So certain kings do it basically by killing all their enemies, by power, by total strength and power. Right? That's one model of a king. Basically, you just scare everyone to death because you punish everyone who rebels, you know? Like Saddam Hussein, or Anas, you know? Like, you just kill everybody who steps out of line. Another way is a king who basically, like, his great wealth, like it's Ahasuerus, you know? It's like he just showed his wealth and everyone was like impressed by him and like they kind of like went in line with him because they were drawn and admired his wealth or his honor, right? Honor, wealth, those kind of things go together. You know, that's another way that you get the people, you know, on your side. Right, like royalty is like kavod. There's like wealth and there's like royalty, let's say like the throne, like royal blood. There's a certain type of an admiration that people have. A little different than wealth. Kavod and money are a little bit different, you know? Different types of ways that you get the people. And then you could have, somehow it seems maybe like a long life, you know, it's another way. It's like, you know, it takes a while to do it, but like you kind of just become like part of the identity of the nation. You know, I guess it takes time to build yourself up, but a king who has like a long reign, it's almost like he's our king. So people become identified with him. A short-lived king doesn't work for it, but if you have a very long kingdom, it just the people kind of become, you know, they identify with you as the lawgiver, and as, you know, there are different methods. The point is there are different ways, different paths which a king could pursue and could set up his kingdom. And I guess a king has to decide for himself. I mean, what path he's going to go on? Different personalities, you know. And basically, God is telling Shlomo Melech, listen, you are in a position to be a king, and you. You're destined for, you know, you're lined up for greatness, but you have to decide how do you want to set up your kingdom. And I guess he's implying that he's going to assist him. Ma'atema. I'll assist you in your setting up of your kingdom. What is it? How do you see it's the best way to do it? Right? So what he's basically saying is that he thinks the way he sees the way to do it is through Mishpat. Okay? Because ultimately, the problem of a king. The problem of a king is you have to keep order, and how do you stop people from crimes? Right, I mean that's the big problem in a kingdom. You just have to keep everyone in line with justice and have a certain, like, if every guy does his own thing, then it destroys the society. Society works through the fact that everyone works for the greater good of the society, not for their own personal needs. So that's the idea of laws. Love, thief, theft, and killing, and, you know, those types of things. So how do you do that? So that's why kings kill people, and kings have to be very strong, and because you have to instill the fear. Oftentimes, that's one way to do it. So he realized that that's like almost like an indirect method. The direct method is Mishpat. It's simply to judge, to be the ultimate Dayan. Like you see, the people out of Yira. If you're afraid that you're going to be caught, then you'll be given justice. Not that the king isn't in justice. Like a king who's like a strong sword, he just goes around killing people. That's not justice. The thing that Shlomo Melech wanted to do is just pure justice. But the problem is your average king can't do pure justice. So he has to go further and just start killing anyone who he suspects. And you know, but he's saying is that the ultimate way to do it is just to have a society of Mishpat. And everyone's going to act in line with, going to live properly because you need Mishpat. Because, you know, Mishpat's going to be about, if you steal someone's baby, then you're going to be, you're going to lose it. You're gonna, whatever you're gonna do, the society as a whole is a society which is gonna function according to Mishpat. But the problem is that how are you supposed to do that? Because the Mishpat is very difficult, as you see from a case like the babies. Two people always come before you, and every fight is like, it's not just like a halachic question, it's like a factual question. Is, you know, two businessmen say, oh, we agreed to this. He says, no, we agreed to that. Okay, now what do you do? You know, he's supposed to figure out, like, the Mishpat, like, it's not just a matter of, like, it's, like, you just always say, I don't know, Tahala Masach Raya, or try to use principles of, like, you know, technical principles. But ultimately, that's not really getting down to the core of what's Mishpat. So it's saying, in general, it's very hard for a king. A king is one person. He's very limited in his ability to really execute Mishpat. And that's why he needs, so to speak, secondary methods of getting the people through his power, his wealth, his fear, his frightening the people, whatever it is. Those are secondary methods of getting the people to be in line, to act in line with what's right. But he's saying is the primary method is justice, just pure justice. But he realizes that he can't, it's not within an ordinary person's ability to execute justice properly. So he's asking for an insight into people. Basically, he's asking for like what you see from this case of the women, but he's asking for like a psychological insight, an ability, a probing, like he says, a lev lish shomea, lish barazam. That's basically what he says, like an ear to be able to perceive subtleties of people's emotions. And to be able to, like you said, to see right through people, and to be able to pick up on their subtleties in order to be able to judge them, because there's, like we said, he says, "Lev shomea lishvod asamcha," hearing ear, because like certain things, like there's always going to be a person who's a liar and a truth, between tov tov lara, but it's like the fakers are good. But a person who's subtle, who's very insightful, could pick up the difference. Could pick up the difference between the two. Like for instance, the instinct of a mother who's gonna shriek when she sees that sword up against, raised against her baby, is something that you can't fake. It's like he in that instance, he was able to evoke the shrill, the horror that a mother is going to feel. And even a faker is thinking things out, so they're not actually having the emotion, they're just faking. So that quick situation basically drew out the instinct in a way that he was able to discern the subtle difference. He knew how to differentiate between Tov and between Ra, and he was able to pick up on subtleties. We talked about last week about basically, he's able to pick up on subtleties of the way they presented their case, the way they worded it, the choice of words, the order of the way they presented the thing. Just the whole, there's a certain nuances of a person's psyche, of the instincts of a person and the way a person presents himself. And that's what he was looking for. He knew that it's possible, but he needs an assistance, a very insightful, be able to focus in on these like subtle details that normally you miss. But he knew that these things are possible, but you have to basically have a fine-tuned sense of of the instincts of a person and of the ability to discern these things. And he knew that if he could do that, and he could set up a reputation of doing that, so then it's two things. I think first of all, there's the amount of cases which he sees, but Vayiru Kol Yisrael, the word gets out. Because you know you're going to be prosecuted, so now you're not going to do it anymore. So you don't have to judge a billion people. You see, if you're not good enough, then you have to judge a billion people. Could be like that's that thing they say he doesn't have the time to do it, you know? If you judge enough cases well, then you don't have to judge that more. Because there becomes a fear, and you get a reputation, so you don't mess. Right? You don't mess. It's like a good disciplinarian in high school, if you do, or whatever. If he's good enough, he'll scare a few people, and that's it. He's not going to have the discipline. But if it's a bad disciplinary, he's going to deal with people all day long. I can't discipline the entire school. Yeah, because you know what you're doing. So every day you get a million people at the office because you don't scare anybody. But if you're good enough at it, then you're going to get a reputation, and no one's going to you set up an order. So there's a reputation which comes up, and that's how to set up a society which is in line with principles of Mishpat. So that's what he basically asked for. And that, I think what it's saying is that's first of all, that's your point, Aaron, is I think the hearing of the birds is because the birds are just instincts. He's able to read the instincts of the birds. You know what I mean? Like it's an instinctual, you know, ways that they conduct themselves, like a mating call or whatever, or when they're hungry or whatever. It's like, it's the same, like a person. And I think that's how he was able to do it. Because there's two ways to read a person. You can understand the person based on what they tell you, like, or based upon their intellect and what they convey to you in words. And then you could like read their body language and their subtle psychological, you know, messages which they give. Now that is almost, birds have that and dogs have that and people have that. It's just like your instincts. And your instincts tell about you. Just like a bird's instincts tell about them. And then man's words, his speech tells about him. But his speech, you have liars and you have truth. That's the point. There's the speech. They're both telling. They're both coming to a case and they're both telling the same thing. So you're not going to get anywhere based upon what they say, because they're arguing and they both have two arguments. So you have to be able to pick up on their animal, their instinctual nature. And there's subtle things. And that's the same thing in birds as it is in people. So what God gave him, he realized when he saw that he all of a sudden started picking up on subtleties of how this bird is chirping, or how this, you know, those subtleties are the same thing. You see how a guy's walking, and he walked differently, and, you know, whatever. You know, like these subtle little things you pick up on, which are, which allow him to basically, to key into what's really on, which guy's really true, and which guy's really false, which guy's lying, which guy's telling the truth. Then now it could be a thing is why he was rewarded is that this type of kingdom, see there's different, again back to the questions, there's two different ways to set up your kingdom. You can set up with wealth or honor or kill your enemies or this, and this is kind of what Aaron, what you were saying a little bit before, is that this is not emotionally pleasing, at least immediately to a person. Wealth and honor and like killing your enemies and long days are things that are instincts, basic instincts. This is something which is, if you think about it, you realize it's what's necessary to set up a kingdom. But what's this? It's an ability to discern, to judge cases. Like it's not emotionally. I mean, look, it may have some benefits emotionally, but you know, you can be smart and people, you know. But essentially, it's a particular skill to be able to judge people and to be able to set up a society in a proper way. But it's not like one of the base instincts of a person, like wealth and honor and long life and destroy your enemies and, you know, like an ego thing. It's just what's necessary. So that's what he's saying, is that you bypassed all the normal king emotions and all the normal things that a king wants. I'm offering to you. What do you want? I'll help you set up your kingdom. Think of the way you want it. And Shlomo Melech bypassed the ordinary emotions, and he went for the heart of the matter, for that which is truly the good, instead of going for these secondary methods. And he went down, got to the core of what's his love for Mishpat, and he didn't fall into the trap. You know, he's just apparently drawn to Mishpat, and he wanted to set up a society according to the Mitzvah Baruch Hu of Mishpat, and it's like the proper society for the world. So that was a great tzchustam. And as he says, because of that, because of the fact that you didn't fall into the trap of those things, and it could be that's why he's God saying, I'll give you those things. Anyways, he says, I'll give you all those stuff anyways. Because if you related to those things, like, it could be, it's like if you related to these things improperly and he was really just following, like, his desire for wealth, then he's something maybe God wouldn't give it to him. Because then he's just like a ball, whatever, you know, a wealthy guy who's looking for a taiva, who's looking for a guy who's looking for, you know, a kavod. So maybe he wouldn't. But here, he did not fall into those traps. So he's a person who could have wealth and he'll relate to it properly. Wealth could be good for a king because then the people respect him even more and the honor, they'll respect him even more. The problem isn't to have it, it's that if your kingdom is centered around your personal desire for these things, that's corrupting. But if you just want mishpat, then these things can also help. They'll help your ability to do mishpat because people are moved by the stuff. You know, so God gave him those things also. He gave him those things also, but they would be addendums and they would assist him in his mission, but it's only because he asked for it properly and he had a proper perspective in the way, in the kingdom. So God gave him, even though he said, I'll only give you one thing, he said, ask for one thing, but now God, you know, since he was proper, he did it properly, so then God gives him other things. Yeah.
So are we saying that those other two things are good for a king, or like it could be good for a king? Like
I think it's good for a king. It's good for a king because if he's wealthy, so then, or if he's like his honor, so people respect him and people are going to want to follow in line with his commands. And if he has money, then people are going to have a certain appreciation of him. So they're good. They are good. But the only thing is like they in their own right, if the king is attached to them per se, then they're bad. Because
so the
he's going to...
The things he should have, but if he were to ask for them...
Right.
In an improper way.
Yes.
Exactly. He wasn't fit.
Yeah, right. He wasn't fit.
He's obviously fit to have.
Yes, because he did not ask for them, he's fit to have them.
And let's say in an improper way, because he asked for chachma, I mean...
Right, but chachma is something which is appropriate to ask for, because that's really getting down to the core. He's not even asking
for
chachma.
He's asking for chachma in an improper way.
Yes, well, essentially, that's what it says. It's what he did not ask for chachma. He didn't have to be a wise man. He has to be able to have the insight to judge the people. So you see, he's not looking to be a smart, you know, Mr. Smarty Pants. That's not, he happened to end up being that also. But that's not what he was looking for. He wanted to judge the people. He wanted to be able to judge the people, to run the nation, to set up a nation on Am Hashem, which is going to be attached to Mishpah and stuff, you know, the proper values. That's what he wanted to do. He was not looking for the, but then he got the guy, you know, he got it, because now he's Bei Chacham, and now the world at large saw that. And people are moved by that. People are moved by that. And the world, the other kings and everyone is moved by that. You see, they recognize his greatness and they came to him for advice and for this and he wrote Mishalom and he taught people and, you know. Yeah, I'm not sure about that other part, why he said the Rashi, so the Radak says that he got the Chachma Satorah. Is that relevant? Is Chachma... I mean, it could just be his Chachma was all-encompassing. So it was all encompassing. It extended the Torah as well. I don't know. Yeah. And then, right then, you saw that story with the woman, and then the people were afraid. So you see, it worked. Then they were afraid, and that basically. And it seems like Yichos and Elkemikir, but they realized. It just sounds like they realized that it was not ordinary. It's Chachmo, it sounds like that's what I'm saying. They realized that there's. It's like, it's possible, but there's such a thing as like, it's just really, you know, just like not, it's not a normal thing for a person to have. It's like Sherlock Holmes type of thing, something like that kind of thing, you know? It's like, you know, yeah, it makes sense, but there's never a guy like that, you know? It's like, it's fiction, I think, right? It's not based on anything, is it? It's just those things, they're ridiculous. The person isn't that insightful, it's just not possible, you know? Is it impossible? I mean, the human brain is possible, but it just the person isn't that keen. Being able to pick up, yeah, you could make it into a fiction thing and show all those things, but it's not, it's fake. It's not a real thing. People can't really do that. So it could be they realized that it was Chachmas Elokim B'Kirbo, but there was Hashgacha here, that he was assisted. It's just not. It's more than look. It's human knowledge, but it's like with assistance, with the divine assistance. Yeah. Okay. Is there anything outstanding? Did we answer all our questions or no?
Why did God come to him in the first place? Is this just him setting up his kingdom?
Oh, so it sounds like basically like what Mao was pointing before is that look, God had David HaMelech, and he wanted basically this is a schar to David HaMelech that he's going to have a kid who's going to carry on the kingdom. And apparently, God is going to give him a hashgacha to help him, but he's going to apparently God wanted it to be based upon his bechira. It wasn't just gonna put on a silver platter. It seems that he was basically God was gonna assist him in the path which he had to. I mean, it's hard to know why God, you know, but what he's doing is he's assisting him on the path which he decides for himself. You know, but he was a player in the formation of his melucha. You know,
you could learn that he was gonna give him whatever he wanted. But like,
could
this
be.
Is like, because he didn't ask for.
He got additional stuff.
Right, that's why I'm here.
Yeah, right.
He's explaining why these things aren't going to corrupt you. It's like he didn't ask for them in the first place.
Right, but if he did ask for them, then you're saying maybe he would have given him, he would have given him wealth, but it wouldn't have been that good. The kingdom, it wouldn't have worked out as. The end of the day, Shlomo's mouth wouldn't have been the king that she was if he would have gone down that route. It could be God would have done it anyways. But he would have been Bocher. It could be it wouldn't have, you know, wouldn't have worked out as well.
Next case would have been, and you cut a baby in half.
Yeah, right. You're right. You're right.
Oh, really? I wanted to ask another. This is like a side question. when that one woman came up and was like. Ki nimcheru nichmeru rachmea albana, and she like you know intervened. Like where was the other woman? Like she was. I refuse to believe that she was okay with baby.
Well, it says she said Gad says I won't have it. You don't have it cut in half. She said that. We did this last week. She actually said that. The next half, second half of the pasuk.
Oh.
Chop,
wow.
Cut it.
Oh, wow.
Crazy, right?
Wow, that was a cold-hearted woman.
Right. That's crazy, right? But we did that last week. Ask the guys about it. That's right. It sounds like a crazy thing. But that was Shlomo HaMelech brought that out. But, good question.
So they both, I didn't realize that when I was hurt as a kid.
They don't tell you that part, right?
What?
They don't tell you that part.
No, he said I was going to chop it. But I figured one woman said, okay, yeah, let's do it. And the other one shrieked.
But first the first one shrieked. First, because that's good, because that instinct is too quick. You can't
right.
be, the real instinct is just too quick.
Right.
But the other one
like
said, go ahead, cut it.
Because when you say like this, it's like a different type of chuff, like, or it's deeper. Like, first I saw, like, as a kid, one woman said no,
yeah.
one woman said yes.
Yeah, right.
Maybe it was looking for insight
yeah, right.
into,
yeah.
like, the...
Right. He sensed their psychology, and he sensed that the other one's psychology. He sensed the whole thing. Yeah, I mean, it's really, you know, it's a good study. I mean, we spent a while last week, but...
You do this every Saturday night now?
I don't know. It's two for now. Maybe. I'm doing this. I'm learning through this with Lisa a little bit. Malcolm. So I did something this morning that I could do next week, or if we do it next week. But in theory, you know.
No.
What?
I'm in.
It just, you know, it should is once they change the clocks, then I have like father son learning with my kids, so I will have to see. But whatever. Well,
November,
you know.
Right?
What?
November.
Something like that, yeah. We'll see. I'd like to do it relatively often, but you know, these things have.
Father son learning, where is that?
It's in school, in Dacha.
Yeah, right.
And I was thinking about one interesting thing which comes from this thing is our lesson. One interesting lesson, I think, is like it would have been easy for Shlomo HaMelech to say, I want wealth because I have to judge, I have to have the people respect me. and after all, I'm the Melech Yisrael, and I have to have Kavod to Klal Yisrael, and I'm Hashem, and it's like very easy to rationalize that kind of a thing because of the fact that it's for, you can defend it as being L'Shem Shemayim, you know, but he resisted that temptation and he went for that which was truly L'Shem Shemayim, not for that which he could rationalize as being L'Shem Shemayim, you know. And I think that it seems to me that's like a practical thing, is that it's like a person like could fool themselves into doing things which they could feel are L'Shem Shemayim but are really like self-serving, you know. And it's good to be discerning when you're really doing something L'Shem Shemayim and when you're just using that as a cover to be able to just some other kavod or whatever else it is, you know. Like, it's just good to, I'm not sure exactly what the point is, but it's just good to be aware of yourself, to be spying on yourself, and you know, you're probably not as big of a tzaddik as you like to think you are, you know. And the different things that you do, which are, you know, you could rationalize doing certain things which aren't really good for you because you have an excuse that, oh, it's because it's L'Shem Shemayim, or, you know, like you do that kind of a thing. Could have gotten the money and gotten the kavod and in a way, but to be able to focus on that which is truly good, truly L'Shem Shemayim, not just that which you could, you know, looks that way, is something which is not easy.
What does it mean to do something L'Shem Shemayim? As opposed to like doing some things that's self-serving, which doing selfish things usually kind of seems like a good thing, you know, like do something that's going to benefit you. But what do you mean by doing something L'Shem Shemayim?
I mean, like, yeah, okay. So now you're saying, I have a similar example. You're saying the guy will say, I want to make a lot of money so I could learn later. So that could often be just the cover. He really wants to make a lot of money. He doesn't want to learn, but it's his way of rationalizing that he's gonna, like, he's doing it so that he'll be able to make money for later. Or I thought a guy could say, look, I want to make a lot of money so I give a lot of stock. And people say that also. Which is like, look, maybe is the case, but maybe you'd be better off just learning Torah a little bit. If you're really interested in Torah, so maybe you should learn Torah, you know, instead of saying, I'll just make a lot of money, you know. Like, I get you right, these things are complicated, but the point is that it's easy to rationalize things by giving false, you know, false motivations that seem to be, like, you know, genuine. And, you know, they're tricky. It's hard to break down. Well, maybe it is the right thing to do, maybe it isn't. But that's why I think you have to be honest and try to be aware of your own emotions. Maybe I want to get this job because you really want to be a very wealthy guy, and it's not because you want to just be able to learn so much. If you're not honest with yourself, you're going to end up being a guy, like it says, maybe you'll never turn to learning. You'll start pushing it off because you want to make a lot of money, and you make a lot of money and you never end up learning. So if you would have been honest with yourself and realized that it really is a strong desire for wealth and it's not really a desire for learning, then you'd end up realize not going for that and actually setting up a life of learning. So if you're not, you know, if you're not aware of your own personal motivations, you know, and the ones which seem to be like for the purpose of perfection or for the purpose of Torah or for the purpose of, you know, of truth, but they really could be ways of which are putting forth truth and perfection, but they're really just ways of covering up your underlying base instinctual motivations. I mean, L'Shem Shemayim, I mean, like, just perfection idea, as opposed to, like, your instincts. You know, like, your desire for money as opposed to your desire for learning. You know, you'll say, I want to learn, I want to work, because I know I want to set up a life of learning, and the only way to do it is to make $1 million or $10 million, whatever, and then I'll have a life of learning. Do you really want a life of learning? Well, you really want a life of money, and it's just that you're telling yourself that I need to make a lot of money so I can learn. But it's really fake. So, it's a decent example. It's similar to, right? Almost two tracks, honestly, you know. Yeah. You can think of different examples, you know. They're probably more, you know, personalized examples or whatever. But, you know, it's not the main point in the Shlomo story, but I think it's interesting is that it's something to take. It's good to be aware of your own motivations for doing things, you know. Or a kavod, or learning. You could say learning is because you want people to think you're a big learner or something. So look, I'm not saying these emotions, like, the emotions are there. But the question is when they make you affect your decisions. It's important to be aware of your emotions. Like, let's say you learn and it gives you, make people, you know, people look up to you and you like that. So look, it's a little small motivation, but you have to be aware of it. Because sometimes you end up making mistakes if you're not aware of it. So it's a level, and you hopefully rise beyond that level. If it gets you to learn and, you know, use it. But at the same time, it's good to know where you're at and not to fool yourself into, you know. Especially because it ends up making nafkamina. Sometimes you can learn not properly because, let's say, learn this or whatever, I don't know. Let's say, like, as an example, like, it's better for you to go to the lower shir because you'll learn more and you learn how to learn, and there's a popular path than a person growing and learning. But you feel like you want to be, you don't want to be a guy in the lower shir, it's not, you know. So you'll never learn. You never learn how to learn because you have to be in the top shir. You know, so it's like something like that. Like, you have to know your emotions involved in learning, or in any, you know. Yeah.